What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. We'll certainly talk about some real estate stuff, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough, and we can struggle at times, but this is the podcast to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Reminder for the month of March, we are reading Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. We're going to read this book together this month, and at the end of the month, Pat and I will be doing a podcast all about the book, recapping it, kind of what we getting, what we took away from it, much like we're going to be doing today about our February book, which was How to Talk to Anybody, 92 Little Tricks for Big Success in Relationships by Lyle Loundis. Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Loundis.
Yeah, Lyle Loundis. Pat and I were just talking before this. Not my favorite book I've ever read. But no. It was good. There was a lot of little stuff, little takeaways, little takeaways, I guess is the best way to say it. But it was kind of a hard read just because
there's so much.
There's a lot to it.
And I think I was holding high expectations because as you're reading the first couple chapters, you're like, this is the updated version of How to Make Friends and Influence People. And that book is a classic. That book is it's one of my favorite books. I mean, this expands on it and like brings it
a little more modern.
Modern, but at the same time, it's definitely not that book. It does not replace that book.
For there to be 92 things you have to keep track of as far as like valuable information, like condense it down to maybe like 9 or 10.
Well, and that's the thing is like reading it, the start of each chapter, you could have just taken the start, like each section, it's broken down into 9 different sections. You could have taken the first part of each 9 sections and then just listed out what the tricks were because you literally don't have to read it. You can just flip to the part where it tells you what the trick is, read it, and you're going to know what it is. But at the end, she does a good thing of like bringing it all together. So you take the first part of each section, read the tricks, then read the last 10 sections of the book, and you're good. You've got a handle on everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was hard to read just because, you know, like you said, there's 92 little things. So it's like every 4 or 5 pages, it's like a new thing, you know? Yeah. So it's
some of them were just one.
Yeah. Yeah, some of them were like 1-page things. Some of them were like 4, 5, 6 pages. And it was just like, just kind of choppy. And like, it wasn't like a page turner by any means. But I do think it would be like a good book to just like open up and like, oh, you know, this is a good like little thing to learn today. Here's 2 pages on something that I could go probably implement today whenever I'm going out to meet people or talk to people or, you know, go anywhere I'm going to have a conversation. I mean, I definitely think that you could use it for that, but like as far as kind of reading it cover to cover, not like something that was super intriguing to me.
Let me ask you a question, because I know, Pat, did you ever work in the service industry, like serving tables or anything?
Yeah, I work for a catering company.
Do you think that this book taught you anything that maybe you didn't learn, like serving tables or being in the service industry?
As a catering company, we weren't allowed to talk to the guests, so
that's trash.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's the thing. I mean, we were working very expensive. I mean, we worked the mayor's ball.
You were the help.
We were the help. Seriously. Yeah. We were the help. A lot of people treated us like shit at these parties. And so really our job was to be invisible and blend in. I mean, I guess that's kind of different than actually working in the service industry. So, like at a restaurant, because at a restaurant, your job is to be social, is to build a connection with these people. And my job was to do the opposite and to just kind of be out of the way. So,
okay. To answer your question, I would say, no, there's really not anything that I really remember offhand from the book that was like, oh, I've never heard that.
Right.
You know, there's some stuff I'm like, oh, that's a good way to do that.
Right.
Or but I mean, spending 9 years in the, you know, waiting tables and in the service industry, like I think that trumps everything I read from this book for sure. But yeah, I mean,
there's a few things in here though that I like implementing.
Yeah,
you know, like one, I think we want to start doing the podcast. I think is a great idea just to kind of get a feel for what people think about themselves and how. And it's the Tombstone game. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really neat. Yeah, where, like you know, it's basically what do you want inscribed on your tombstone? How do you want? You know, it's like John Smith. You know. A great father and whatever, you know, like for me, you know, I would, you know, we talked about that yesterday at lunch with Connor and Connor said something really great. And it was kind of similar to what I would want is, you know, hey, here lies Pat Doyle, you know, a guy that could always be counted on and every person that he met or any room that he left was better than when it was when he got there. Yeah. You know, that's what I would want. So
yeah, I know, Murph, I know you've kind of said yours in the past, or maybe not this, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I really like yours, the I'm an average guy that inspired, or what was it?
I wanted to live a life that proved to average people that they were capable of anything, and it was funny because I went to my first therapy session ever yesterday, and that was a big point of like what we talked about, what's going on with me internally, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you want me to expand on that.
Go ahead and expand on anything that you're comfortable with.
How was it?
So, you know, I have to give big shout out to a guy who was actually on the show. Nick Baldwin was the guy who turned me on to this. It's a very unique kind of therapy. I dare call it holistic, but it was very much talk therapy yesterday. And for me, I'm someone whom also comes from the service industry. My mom was a bartender and a waitress her whole professional career. She was really good at it too. It's why she had regulars. And so that was one of the ways I learned how to talk to people was just, hey, flip tables like a motherfucker.
Right.
And as I kind of got into the first form side of things, you know, Andy's my role model. He's my friend. He's my mentor. And those are big idols to have. And when your why is strong, he pointed out to me, he goes, what would you rather do? Would you rather enjoy what it is you're going through every single day, or would you rather prove to people that they can make greatness out of average situations? And it really confused me. And I was like,
say it again.
He goes, would you rather enjoy what's going on in your life? Would you rather enjoy what it is you do every day? Or would you rather have your goal? And I was like, but getting to my goal is how I enjoy my life. And he goes, have you been enjoying your life lately? And I was like, fuck. And for me, the gift of gab thing is that I can talk to pretty much anyone. It's never really been an issue. I mean, I created a brand on social media where I tried to find common ground with people who disagree on partisan issues. Like, it's tough, but I can do it. When it came to being vulnerable with a mental health professional, that is actually something I've been very averted from. I've been very scared to be vulnerable with people. And the guy heard as much of my life story as I could tell him in almost 3 hours. And for me, I still think communication is like the greatest skill I have to give with anybody. It's my way of offering value to people. But if you're not being honest about who you are and what you have to offer, what really bothers you and what you're really after, you will spend a lot of your time trying to do things outside of your nature to reconcile that feeling of emptiness. And those things you do, they pull you further and further away from your true self. They have you desiring things that probably aren't that good for you and avoiding things that you should be doing. And this feeling of lost, this feeling of hurt, this feeling of I don't have what I want and need is very prevalent. So, I mean, I'm still working on ways on how I can be honest in my communication, but it was a very revealing experience. And I don't know, I'm still processing if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah. I mean, I've been going to therapy a couple of weeks for the last 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's still times where it's like, man, do I dive into this? Do I really want? And it does. It's a scary thing to get be vulnerable like that. But that was one of the biggest things that him and I discussed was being vulnerable and allowing ourselves to open up that way. And since then, you know, it gets easier and easier with each time you go. And now, like, I feel like I'm going and just talking to a friend, like,
yeah,
and we just have really good conversations and he asks really good questions and really gets me to think. And I mean, it's been huge for me. Like, you could talk to anybody that knew me prior to therapy and to where I'm at now, like, completely different.
Yeah. It still takes some getting used to, and
it's going to.
Yeah. I think the most, and I don't even know how we got on the topic of my therapy. I'm sorry.
Oh, bro. Keep going. I'm fine.
I think
we're not super into this book anyway.
The topic of today's podcast is communication amongst all things.
Yes.
I think that can be a really good segue from talking about a book you guys aren't that thrilled about.
Well, I mean, it's about emotions. It's eliciting emotions from people. And
yeah.
The book is about getting people to open up and be emotional. And this is part of it.
Yeah. I think the thing he told me that helped me the most is that all the emotions that I'm feeling when I gave him just 2.5 hour synopsis of like the biggest conflicts in my life, he was like, it makes sense why you feel the way you do. And he told me I was normal.
Yeah.
And I've always been scared that I was going to reveal some of my most innermost insecurities and fears and things that I'm scared to be vulnerable about. And I thought I was going to get commissioned or like committed to like a psych or something, but it's because I've never really talked to anyone who could sit there and say, here's this third person perspective of someone who is not biased and does not know you. Right. And the fact that he was referred to me by Nick Baldwin means a lot to me, because if I was just to go find some random person, whether it's a formal office or BetterHelp or whatever people do these days, I needed to find someone who spoke my language, and he very much spoke my language. He goes, so let me get this straight. You're a scrappy South City kid whose primary masculine figure in his life was his grandmother, who was emotionally unstable and who didn't love your mom very well. And so when your mom was raised in that kind of household and you start having these problems, she didn't even receive help with her issues. And so you're sitting here growing up this guy, and you get into this life of drugs and crime, and you wonder why you hurt so bad. But the truth is that these outbursts and this depression, it's your inner child saying, I have something I want to tell people, and I don't feel anyone's listening to me. The reason you are going, and I mean, I guess I have some other things to reveal now. I mean, entrepreneurship in and of itself is an emotional roller coaster. It is fucking hard, dude. And you know, working with Andy as long as I did, it's like, oh, so this is the guy who I'm comparing myself to, which that's not him, that's me. But I also have to remember, like, I had a conference with him like 2 months in. He goes, so how's everything going in business? I'm like, my bills are paid. He goes, what are your monthly bills? I'm like, I don't know, I've probably spent like, you know, $2,500 a month in expenses. He goes, damn, bro, you're bringing in like that much a month already? Shit, it took me like 7 years to do that. And I'm over here just like, fuck. But the thing was, is that he goes, all of that stuff is that inner child you just kind of want to ignore. And so when you respond with anger, or you respond with depression, or I'll reveal this, like when you self-harm, that's your inner child saying, pay attention to me, love me, I have something to say, and no one's listening to me. And guys, if you're going through something, I think I have a lot of healthy outlets for dealing with my mental health. Don't isolate yourself. Don't seclude yourself. It is one of the most anxiety inducing things for me to like go around people when I'm going through an emotionally taxing time, a mentally taxing time, because I feel like it's coming off of me and I'll ruin their good time. But he even is like, dude, I can feel total sadness coming off of you. And like, bro, he goes, it's not your fault you feel this way, but it is your responsibility and how you deal with it. I was like, fuck. Yeah. So GV, my man, he's fucking.
Yeah.
Help me.
Good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I mean,
props to you for going.
Absolutely. Man. Absolutely. That's the hardest part, is that first one getting there, like, you know, and then, you know, the stigma that comes from it, and that you feel like you're getting judged and all this, like, fuck, I'm happy to talk openly about going to it. I mean, it's helped me tremendously. I'm excited for you to go through this and go through this journey and learn more about yourself and figure out how to be the happiest version of yourself. I'm excited to see it.
I think the most enlightening thing from the whole experience, and this is only like one session of like a 4-session thing,
mm-hmm.
is that
I like that he has an end date, or, you know, it's not an open-ended thing like that, you know, like that's because that's one thing I listened to a podcast recently about therapy, or yeah. it was Rogan, and she had this woman on who talked about therapists. And it was mostly to do with children who are being put into therapy, which this is a wild stat. I don't know if you guys knew this, but 42% of Generation Z is diagnosed with some sort of mental disorder.
Yeah.
You guys know that?
Holy shit.
And that's 42%. That's something he and I talked about.
Well, and what the basis of this podcast was all about was that, you know, I think we're kind of over-diagnosing over-medicating, over-therapying people that don't necessarily, like kids specific. She was, most of her focus on this was children.
Yeah.
And like seeing, you know, children getting put into therapy just because like they're having a hard, you know, their dog died. You know, yeah. and they're putting them into therapy or something. It's like, this is something that all, you know, a grandparent passed away or something, you know, and obviously that's a horrible, sad thing, but it's something that it's just it's a reality of life that, you know, people aren't going to live forever. And it was just super eye-opening to me. And one thing she talked about was having, you know, a therapy kind of like end date or like a scheduled amount of thing that, you know, and I don't exactly know. I've very little experience with therapy. I went to 2 or 3 sessions, and I did it through BetterHelp. And this was probably about a year ago. And I was going through a hard time with, it was mostly to do with like my relationship with Gina. It wasn't really with Gina, but it was on how I felt like I was being a good husband, father. And I just felt like I was putting more into my business and not enough into her and Calvin. And like, yeah, I felt super guilty about it. I definitely dropped the ball on several things within like a 2-week span, like around the house and just shit I needed to do for the family. And I felt like I was putting them on the back burner, and I just needed someone to talk to about it. And I went to like 3 sessions, I think it was. And then I just stopped going. And I don't really know why I stopped, but I guess I just, maybe I didn't get a great therapist. And I know, I mean, I went through BetterHelp, which I've heard good things about. I think it all depends on the person that you get.
Right.
And I think I would just do much better with like an in-person thing, because that was like via Zoom.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just felt like I was just like looking for the quick, easy fix. And that's was like, oh, I hear, you know, ads for BetterHelp. I'll see what this is about. And I went on there, and it was fine. I mean, she was nice, the lady that I spoke with. And but I guess I was afraid to go and talk to like somebody who had, you know, like I didn't know who to talk to. Like, who do I didn't want to put it out on Instagram. Like, anybody got a good therapist right. They recommend? Yeah. You know, I think I would benefit from more of an in-person thing.
Yeah.
If I were to ever do it again.
I just got to say, like, if it weren't for the referral from Nick, I probably wouldn't have done it. And it's honestly a big piece of like, the episode where he sat here and he talked about everything he went through with his brother and some of the psychedelic experiences, which I have no shortage of. I have quite a few of those. And so I understood like the place that he was in whenever he started talking about like, hey, I needed help. And when he said, this is a guy I trust with my life, it's like, well, that's a pretty big statement.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much fucking there, dude. And the thing that made me almost feel stupid for a second was that most of the things he told me by the end of the session were things I already knew. But having someone whom does this for a living, who is spiritually inclined and who has been through some worse situations than even I have, when he said it is absolutely normal for you to feel this way, and even outside of that, when he just reaffirmed all the things I knew about what I was going through, the thing to remember is that all situations, all things in this life are temporary. I literally have the word temporary written on my fridge. So even if you're going through something great that you really love, everything comes to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
and the thing about that too, is make sure you're surrounding yourself with people like both of you guys. If there's ever anything that like you need to talk about, you can always come to me. I'll always be an ear to listen to. I think surrounding yourself with people that are there for you, it helps. You know, I am very fortunate with the guy that I see. Same thing. He was a referral from a few different people. And I always, you know, people ask me about him. I'm like, you've seen the movie Good Will Hunting? He is Robin Williams from Good Will Hunting.
Sick.
Awesome. He's great. You know, and, you know, he's been through so many different aspects from before the divorce through the divorce and now after all of it. And my ex-wife and I went and saw him together through the process of how do we move forward as co-parents and through all of this, all these things. So he's seen every aspect of my life or been through the major aspects of my life. And we've discussed a lot. And I mean, it's every 2 weeks or 2.5 years. And, you know, we have some really good conversations. He asks some really great questions and we dive into a lot of different things. And yeah, it changed my life.
Really?
And I have anybody that wants a good therapist. I've recommended him to probably 15 or 16 people.
Wow.
And that's the thing is like, everybody's going through something. Everybody could have somebody like use this to talk to. I think it's something that should be promoted regularly. And I think that stigma, and because like you said, you didn't want to post it on Facebook. I don't think that, obviously you don't want to share that aspect of your life and you want to keep certain things private, but here we are on our podcast, openly talking about it. Like people, it's okay to go see a therapist. It's okay to tell people that you see a therapist. And mental health is a huge thing and it affects everybody differently. And, you know, some of the things that I'm going through, people might look back and be like, oh, that's nothing.
Right.
But for me, it's big.
Dude, here's the thing. And this is a line that I really like. It's like the worst thing that's ever happened to you is the worst thing that's ever happened to you. You know, everybody's worst thing that's ever happened to them is very, very different. You know, right. if the worst thing that's ever happened to you is you got into a, you know, a fender bender, then that's the worst thing that's ever happened to you.
Right.
Or the worst thing that's ever happened to you is you fled a country that was, you know, like
war-torn country.
Like, yeah. I mean, there's very different, you know,
and
the worst thing that's ever happened to you, it's the worst thing that's ever happened to you.
Yeah.
And how you respond to that is, I mean, everybody's different. Like, dude, my natural inclination, like when I'm upset or like don't know what to do is I'd like shell up and I don't want to show vulnerability. And I really struggle to show like my true feelings a lot. And Gina will be the first one to tell you that. Like, it's hard for me to open up emotionally sometimes. And I think that was one of my, like when I was going to, you know, seeking out, going to therapy, I was like, I just didn't want, I was, that was like against everything that I had ever like thought about myself.
You're
like,
also
I
don't Irish.
Want... Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cause I'm the same way.
Yeah.
But
Irish.
Yeah. What I learned through therapy is it's not so much that we're shelling up to conceal or hide the vulnerability. We're shelling up because we need to take time to think about how we want to reveal what it is that we want to say. So like that was the biggest thing is Melissa and I would get into fights and I would just get quiet and I would just be, and it would almost be like, she'd be like, why aren't you listening to me? And I'd just be like, I am, I'm just deep in my own head thinking about how I want to respond. Like if you're wanting to come at me and you want something like this, that's not going to happen. Like, I'm not going to sit here and go tit for tat with you.
Right. I'm bad off the cuff like that. I'm just going to say something really mean.
Right.
That's like my fucking natural inclination.
Initially, I was like that, but then I realized like that's not going to solve anything. And so I would just
proceed.
Yeah. Into myself. And she would be going off on me. And I would be just sitting there, just almost like I'm taking it and just taking a beating. But the whole time I'm sitting there thinking like, how do I want to respond? How do I want to respond? And then she would just storm off because I wouldn't say anything. The whole time I'm just thinking like, how am I like trying to process this? How do I want to respond? And that's a lot of it. It's not that I didn't want to be vulnerable. It's just me trying to figure out how to be vulnerable. And by the time I figured it out, it was already too late.
Right.
And so I would just keep it to myself. And that's not good either.
No, I mean, you literally just said exactly, I've never put that into words before, but I'm just thinking about the right thing to say or the, how I truly feel or, you know, and I'm trying to say it in a way that's not going to come off like an asshole or going to piss her off more or upset her or make the whole situation worse. And that's an art right there is being able to just come up with the right thing to say. But
what is the right thing?
Right. Yeah, of course it's totally situationally dependent, but yeah, it's a tough one.
I think some of the most important shit he told me, and it was the original point I brought up into like well, what would you rather have? Would you rather see your goal be realized, or would you rather enjoy your life right now? And I was like, okay, well, the thing that I have lived my life by, except for the span of when I was getting in trouble, was put others first. Service industry, you have to put others first. And even after the guest or the customer, whatever you want to call them, you're going to put your boss's wants and needs, or your lead, whoever they are, you're going to put that person's needs and wants first. You don't matter right then and there. And the thing that really messed me up is, like, because he was like, well, wait a minute. If you're going to teach average people that they can do anything, but you're unhappy while you're doing it, are you really setting a good example? And I was like, man. And like, the things that he told me about going back towards our nature is like, are your needs met? Yeah, all my needs are met. He goes, then why are you unhappy? Because you're unhappy because you want things, because you aspire to have things. And when you don't have them, like going through a breakup, you have attached so much of your own value to this idea of companionship with another person. Without them, now all you do is want them, but you're ignoring all the things that you have. And so maybe you can still inspire people, all different walks of life, but maybe you'll reach your goal faster if you just do these three things. And these three things were fucking mind-blowingly simple, but God damn it, if they didn't, like, slap me right in the face. And the number one thing was just do your best. Like, we often underestimate what our best is, but we also often overestimate what our best is. If I'm not moving at 100% efficiency today, it's not my best. Okay, well, then you're going to run yourself into the ground. Like, as a person like you, who's so regimented with your schedule, as well as raising a kid, having a wife, and having another one on the way, I don't know how you fucking do it. I can barely dress myself.
Dude, I'm a mess.
But everyone's best looks different on any given day. So besides trying your best, the next thing is, don't attach yourself to an outcome, which to me is like, it's so hard for me to hear that, because I'm like, okay, you know, I was one of the winners in Andy's first transformation contest in the building. I got a really good cash prize for that. I worked my ass off for it. I've done 75 hard a bunch of times. I got out of fucking probation in 5 years. Like, there was always an end date, and there was always something like the outcome. And like, that was my self-worth every single time. But he's like, well, if you're doing your best, then like, the conclusion isn't what matters. It's the fact that you gave your all. But the last thing is the one that I have a really hard time doing. And it was because he goes, the last thing is just enjoy it. That's why enjoying your life was the biggest premise of like that dichotomy option that he gave me. And it's because when I was in college, you know, that was like 5-6 years, even before I got to Springfield, I was a fucking ne'er-do-well, dude. I was, my priorities every day were, hey, I'm going to get stoned and make money. And I was really good at it. I'm still good at it in just a different way. But once I started learning the value of discipline and character building activities, the delayed gratification, I thought that everything had to be hard before I enjoyed it. And that's just, it's just not the case. Cause if you just sit there and you beat yourself up for having a good time, or maybe not being at 100% efficiency every day, then what the fuck are you ever going to enjoy about life? Is your life just going to like devolve into work? Right. Are you just going to work for the sake of work? And that is my biggest problem, is I divert back to that. I saw my mom work 10-hour nights, 4 nights a week in South City, St. Louis. My dad ran a forklift his whole ass life. My pops, he raised 5 kids before me, and he had to fucking run businesses and be an insurance broker. And like, not everything has to be that. You have to be able to enjoy the things you do. And one of the most toxic phrases I think today is, no one cares, work harder. It's like, no, no one cares, be better.
Yeah.
I like just that. Working harder is not the fucking answer to everything.
Well, I think it comes down to working more efficiently than working harder, you know, because there's a lot of things that we could do for our businesses that would be, you know, hard work, but is it like the best thing that I'd be doing for my business?
Well, think about jiu-jitsu for an example. Like, on average, if you go 3 days a week for 10 years, you'll get a black belt. But like, let's say you've gone your 3 days a week and you're taxed. Are you going to go for a fourth day when you can't even fucking move?
No. Yeah. You're just going to go there and you're just going to, yeah.
Oh, but no one cares, work harder.
Right. Yeah.
You have to be able to delineate, like, is it that I'm not working hard, or is it that I want more than I'm able to put out right now?
But it's also this too, is I think that anything worth having is hard to get.
Absolutely.
You know, like, so, I mean, there is that aspect to it too. I think about anything that I've done that's like been worthwhile, that's been very, very hard to do. I mean, the real estate business, training jiu-jitsu, being a dad, being a husband, like, those are all, you know, difficult things. Like, none of those are easy, but like, they're all worth it because it is hard to do.
But I would argue that you, not even argue, I would add to that, in case of both of you, at least from my vantage point, which is pretty personal with the both of you, I think you both try your best. I mean, your fitness journey right now, it's going great. It's fucking awesome.
Down 8 pounds.
Down mm-hmm. 8 pounds. I saw it the other day when we had to re-record that episode. I'm like, my man looks really, really good right now. And he's coming in happy. We're you both do your best as fathers and full-time professionals. And I think you guys do your best. And I think you don't necessarily tie yourself to quote unquote outcomes. I think that the outcomes have been, from what I've seen, pretty good too. But just like how we talk about coming in and doing the podcast, like I put a lot of pressure on myself. I think I said this the last episode. I put pressure on myself to make everything perfect and I fuck so many things up. And I know that. You guys probably wouldn't notice the things that I fuck up, if I'm being honest. But the thing was, is that just being able to say like, I enjoy what I do and not feel guilty or shameful about that. I was always scared that I was going to go back to being fat, drugged out, fucking criminal me. I don't have to. No.
Yeah, I mean, we got to go back. And this was something that really opened my eyes. It was like, well, go back and look at the people that raised you and how they were raised.
Yep.
And everybody was raised differently. And like for example, my father, his real dad passed away when he was really young mm-hmm. and the grandma remarried, he passed away. So that father figure was missing for his formative years and at times that he needed a father and he didn't have it.
Yeah.
And so he didn't have anything to go off of raising me. And that was something that I needed to, that it took therapy to learn, like, hey, I'm sitting here being raised by a man who didn't. So he's doing his best. And that, like you said, do your best. And now I have a whole new outlook on the way I was raised.
Yeah.
And I think back and I'm like, you know what? The way they raised me and the way they showed me love was the way they showed me love. And it may not be the way that I needed it, but that's how they did it. And I've got an appreciation for that now. When for a long time, I had a lot of resentment for it.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, this is how I was raised. This is what I would do differently. And this is how I'm going to be a father.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's.
That was one of the biggest things he told me too. And it was fucked up to think about because I knew the answer too that he was getting at, but just having someone else tell me was crazy. He goes, who showed you that you were worthy of love when you were younger? I named the people who we namely named, like our parents. It's like, all right, well, tell me more about them. I don't know how much I've talked about like my problems with my lineage, but like not a big fan of my grandma. She was very bad to my mom. And it was like, well, your mom loved you unconditionally as a mother. But like, do you think she has the emotional
capacity
that you have right now? I'm like, no. Absolutely not. So as much as she loves you for being your maternal figure, you have to remember her role model in showing her love was a detached, cold, awful human being at the end of the day. My grandma was not a great human being because, again, she treated her kids like shit. And she was very selfish throughout her whole life. And I'm not just here to rag on my grandma, but it's like when you recognize that, that's the part of where it's not your fault that you feel this way, but it is your responsibility and how you deal with it. In my grandma's day, they didn't have therapy. It's like, oh, you need to talk to someone, you're fucking crazy.
Yep.
Right.
And that's, guys, if just because maybe you haven't experienced love in a way that
you want,
yeah, or it doesn't make sense to you,
right,
you have to think about like, what does love mean to you? And if you go around showing it to people the way it was shown to you and it was a bad example, you're going to walk around feeling really empty most days. And for a big piece of my life, that has been me. And now that I have a little bit of insight, and again, it's only the first session of four, I mean, just trying to watch what I say and watch what I do and how I think and not being reactive. I can be an incredibly reactive person. Mm-hmm. Hey, guess what? I have an opportunity to start my own business. I'm quitting my job day one.
Yeah.
But I mean, I felt there was something I wanted that I didn't have, and now I enjoy it, but it's been a process to deal with that and make proactive decisions. Like Gretchen said, like, hey, if you need to jump and do something, gradually do it. Don't be reactive, be proactive.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you definitely did it pretty reactively. I mean,
full send.
I did it kind of gradually, but I was forced to it, you know, forced to kind of make that pivot with the pandemic. I mean, I had the license, but everything shut down. So I was kind of forced into it. Thankfully, I mean, but who knows, man, if everything wouldn't have shut down in 2020 and I would have, I don't know how long I would have kept slinging, waiting tables and slinging omelets, because like, I don't know if I would have had the opportunity to like make the calls and do all the shit that I did when I had all that free time when I wasn't, cause I wasn't working at First Watch anymore and waiting tables. So I started treating real estate like a job every day, and eventually it started working out. But man, if I wasn't forced into that, man, it could have been a long time. You know, it could have taken me a long time before I actually made the switch. But like, that was, I mean, I always say like COVID was like one of the best things that ever happened to me, because it kind of forced me onto the path that I'm on now. And yeah, I mean, it's the best decision I've ever made, I think.
You don't know what you don't know how capable you are until your options are taken away from you. And that was a big piece of COVID.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I mean, I'm not, you know, I work for a company, but I'm commission only.
Right.
And so you eat what you kill, and coming out of baseball, and used to making shit money. So closing a deal a month was more than I ever made playing professional baseball. But I knew that I had, you know, where I wanted to be and what I wanted to do and what I wanted to get to and how I wanted to build this, plus the respect that I have for myself to put everything all, like, go all in on it. I did the same thing. I just jumped. I just did it. I could have taken other jobs. I could have done other things. I had my mom that pushed me into it, my business partner now, who's been my mentor, and learned a lot from him, as well as some of the other loan officers in our branch that are incredible, incredible loan officers, being able to learn from them and see how they do their business. And I felt comfortable to, at that point, that I had the support system around me to make that leap. So
yeah,
it's scary though.
Oh, it's terrifying. Yeah. But I mean, man, a piece of advice I would give to anybody that's looking to do something, you know, whether it's start a business or just do something, even if it's, it doesn't necessarily have to be starting a business, but you know, making a switch in your life, find a mentor, find someone that can kind of guide you through the process, man. Because man, if I didn't have the people in my life when I was first getting started into this business, that really like guided me and showed me the way, man, I would still be twiddling my thumbs, and I wouldn't have gotten anywhere close to where I am now, I don't think, without the amazing people that I've met, the people that guide me, that like, hey, no, dude, you're doing it wrong. This is what you need to do. Like, no, don't waste your time doing this. We need to do that. Like, think about this. This is a, you know, this is going to move your business forward. This is not. And finding someone that's just, that's been there before, and they're where you want to be. And find them and shit, man, work for them for free.
Put your ego aside.
Mm-hmm.
You have to humble yourself, and you have to put that ego aside and put your pride aside and realize you aren't shit.
Facts.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And be open.
You don't deserve anything.
No, nothing's handed to you as an entrepreneur or somebody that's in sales making commission only. Like, nothing is handed to you. You have to put the work in to get there, and you need people to help you with that. And I think we all have pretty good people in our corners to help us with that. And yeah. I can honestly say I wouldn't be where I was, you know, as you know, I always say the worst thing my mom and I could have done was work together, but I don't think I would be where I'm at if it wasn't for her, and it wasn't for Nick, and it wasn't for Randy or Stephanie, or rest in peace, Jim Dean, taking a chance on me to let me learn. And, you know, I think it helped too that not knowing shit about the business, I had to go in as a sponge to learn everything.
Yeah.
So
And that's one of the reasons I'm really grateful for the Frisellas in my life, and not just Andy, but Sal and their wives too, because they've all, maybe not Raquel, I don't have much dialogue with her, but like in the event of like Andy and Emily and Sal specifically, like those are all people who I really look up to, who we all probably really look up to for any given reason as fathers. I mean, like
Sal, holy shit.
Sal is super dad.
Yeah.
Like the most picture perfect, like 80s or 60s esque father you could ever imagine is that man.
Yeah.
they all still have their insecurities. They all still have their things that they deal with. And, you know, like, not only is Andy the head of all these different companies, but when he makes his mission in life, like, hey, make the country as great as possible, create opportunity for people. Well, when you are responsible for all these careers and this movement, that's not just political, but it's a pride thing. It's a local and national pride thing. It's like, are you giving yourself any credit? Do you like recognize what it is? And when you pull it back to like, well, do I have what I need? Do I have food, shelter, water? Like, do I have opportunity? All those other things, you can want them, but don't attach yourself to like, oh, well, if I don't get them, blah, 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 blah. Like, it is what it is. It's okay, you know, but scale back. Do you have what you need? Do you necessarily need, quote, what you want?
Obviously, we've deviated from the book, which,
okay,
that's fine. I mean,
get took the book, away from read it. It. Communication.
Yeah. Communication.
Yeah. Which, communication. It's been a, we learned touch, a lot, talked a lot of therapy, you know, learned, figured out.
Well, I mean, the book's about emotion and eliciting emotion out of people to get closer to them. And dove into probably the most emotional topics that you can talk about, which is therapy. And as men, it is okay to talk about feelings. It is okay to have emotions, and it's okay to not know how to express them, but learning how to express them is huge. And expressing them in a healthy way is even bigger.
Yeah, and I think it's a, I feel like it's like a muscle, man. It's just like anything else, you know, just because you do it one time doesn't mean it's, you're done. You know, you can't go to the gym one time and get in shape. I think it's something that's just like a constant work in progress and something you always kind of need to be working on a little bit, you know, whether it's with a therapist or, you know, filling your brain with, you know, positive stuff, whether it's reading books, podcasts, audiobooks, talking to good people in your life. Yep. You know, like, I think it's a constant work in progress. And I mean, I don't think it's anything you're ever done with. And, you know, I think we're all just working on it and trying to get better. So,
yeah, if you say you've mastered it, you have not.
Right.
You know, there's the brain is so complex. Each person, their soul, the way they feel, the way they act is so.
And it changes day by day, too. Yeah. Cause, like, dude, there's days where I feel like I'm, you know, I've got it all together, and man, I'm like, man, this is all, everything's working out. I'm on, I've got everything dialed in, everything's working out. And then there's other days where I just feel like my shit's not working out. My brain's not working right, or I'm just off today. Right. And, you know, and I think that's part of it. If I could figure out a way to like always be on, that'd be awesome. But I don't know if there's a way to do that.
More Neuro Gum.
Yeah.
A big thank you to NeuroGum for keeping us caffeinated.
NeuroGum.
Yeah. NeuroGum. Yes.
I'm glad we both thought that at the same time.
That was fucking gold.
That was hard.
Well, thanks a lot, Kent. Yeah. We appreciate you and all your wonderful products.
Yeah.
First name basis. Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. But anyway, guys, I think that's a good spot for us to wrap it up today. Remember to tell a friend if you enjoyed anything, if you enjoyed the show, got anything out of it. Tell a friend. If you haven't subscribed yet, please click that button for us. That's huge. Comment, like, and we will see you guys on Thursday with a guest.
Real quick, too, if you're somebody that needs somebody to talk to, you can always reach out to us.
We're always here for you.
Always here.
That's why we say if you need a show, this is the show for you.
Yep.
Exactly. All right, guys. We'll see you guys on Thursday.